Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Wrong and wrong, or right and right. We're talking today about decisions. We make decisions every day and all the time. Our brain is taking in information from our senses and making decisions. Some of these decisions are not even conscious decisions. The decisions we make range from small to great and everything in between. And our decisions affect our life. Some decisions have greater consequences than others. I think back to my life. As a young man, I made a decision to accept a transfer by a company from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania to Chicago. Changed everything. I met my wife in the Chicago area. We had our children in the Chicago area. I found the church that I had in Chicago. If it wasn't for that decision to accept that transfer, I don't know that I'd be here today. And therefore, I don't know that Cape Baptist would be here today. One decision, I will go. And you think about the decisions that we make. They affect ourselves and they affect people. My grandkids are affected. Stop and think about the impact of some of your decisions. Who you will marry. Isn't it amazing that God has entrusted some major decisions to young people? You make a decision as a young person who you're going to marry, and it's going to be with you the rest of your life. We better take our decisions and the process of making the right decisions very seriously. Proverbs 24:6, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, in the multitude of counselors their safety." Here the situation is war, but in life. Do you get advice? I hope you do. The Bible tells us, in the multitude of counselors, ask people. Yes, you have the final decision. When you have an important decision to make, get somebody's opinion. Get a couple people's opinion. And the bigger the decision, get more people's opinion. Because they're going to see things that you don't see. And they may not give you what you need, but they'll start you thinking, "Ooh, I never thought about that." Decisions. Getting advice can help you avoid many problems. Marriage. Buying a house, your career, joining the military, going to college or trade school, investments, and the list goes on. Decisions and the importance of making wise decisions. As believers, every aspect of our life is to be dedicated to God. Live for Him every day and in all things, therefore, even simple things need to be decided with wisdom. Let me give this quote from Peter Marshall. "If God does not enter your kitchen, there's something wrong with your kitchen. If you can't take God into your recreation, there's something wrong with your play. We all believe in the God of the heroic. What we need most of these days is the God of the humdrum, commonplace, and everyday." We need God all the time. In everything. But aren't decisions always black and white? No, not always. Sometimes one is right and one is wrong. There are many things that we decide on that have lots of different answers. What we eat for breakfast. Now, maybe some of you already have a routine. I don't. I wander in and stare at the refrigerator for a while. You make decisions, and there's a lot of different choices. Your order of events today. Some things are set at 9 o'clock, this, etc. Some things are flexible. What clothes you're going to wear. A lot of different choices. Some decisions are obviously right and wrong. Infidelity, stealing, murder. But some decisions aren't so easy to make. And what do you do with your difficult decisions? And that is the essence of our study. Sometimes our decisions are trying to discern between wrong and wrong. And sometimes it's between right and right. This is what we want to consider today. I want to start with wrong and wrong. If we go back in the Bible, Israel was in bondage to Egypt. And it was in Exodus chapter 1, Joseph has died. The children of Israel are growing in numbers and in strength. Let us read Exodus 1:10. Come on, this is now the Egyptians speaking. Come on, let us deal wisely now with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, the Egyptians, they did set over them, the children of Israel, taskmasters to afflict them with burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. So they came up with a plan. And the midwives, there were two midwives to deliver the babies of Israel. And those two midwives were told, whenever a baby girl is born, keep it alive, but when a baby boy is born, kill it. Let us read. Exodus 1:15, and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, thou shalt kill him, but if it be a daughter, then she shall live. What do you do as one of the midwives? Because if you obey, you're committing murder. But if you disobey, you're going to be the one killed. So what do they do? Let us read Exodus chapter 1, verse 17. But the midwives feared God and did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. Okay? So here we have this very interesting decision. If I disobey, my life is on the line. And they're sparing these baby boys alive. And they made the decision, we're not going to do what the king said to do. But the king obviously finally discovered what's happening, and he confronts these midwives. He wants to know what's going on with all these baby boys. Exodus 1:18, and the king of Egypt called them for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing that you have saved the men children alive? Why did you do this? Now they're really stuck. What do they say? Let us read. 19. And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. They lied. Can't be denied. It's right there in Scripture. When we were doing our study in 2 Samuel, I touched upon this. I did a message called Honorable Lies. Because it's right in Scripture. We have to confront what's there. And I am glad that God deals with the reality of life. Not all decisions are easy. These Hebrew women, I mean, they just deliver too fast. We don't have time to get there. You know, it's not our fault. So they had to decide between obeying and killing. And now they have to decide between telling the truth or lying. And they lied. Point blank. There was a very difficult challenge to them. What do you decide? Not all of life's decisions are easy. It would cost them their lives. They are in a very difficult situation. They're deciding between the wrong of killing babies and the wrong of lying. If the midwives had told the truth, then the babies would have probably died. And her. What did they do? They chose the higher virtue. This is what we have to do when we're confronted with two wrongs. I don't want to lie. I don't want to kill babies. Ah, but Pastor Holler, they should have just trusted God and He would have seen them through this. You know, we can sit here and debate that. Should they have told the truth and God would have blessed? I think the answer lies in God's response. Look at verse 20 of Exodus 1. Because they lied, therefore God dealt well with the midwives. That's pretty clear. God said, good job. And the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. It came to pass, because the midwives feared God, he made them houses in a land of bondage. Is that a difficult situation? Folks, sometimes we're going to have to make some very difficult decisions. Choose the higher virtue. I am not going to kill those babies. And I do not have to put up with this king and fear him. I fear God. And that really is the heartbeat of it. And I guess if I'm going to suffer because I lied, dear God, here I am, a pile of clay with the breath of life. And sometimes we make decisions in this life, and that's really what you do. You stand there and say, dear God, I have done the best I can. I commend this to you. And if I have failed, so be it. I will then stand corrected. But I think it's very interesting that the Bible bluntly tells us those ladies lied, and God dealt well with them and gave them houses. Now, this study is not promoting lying. This study is dealing with the realities of life. Sometimes it's not black and white, and sometimes we have to make the best decision we can and lay it at the feet of God. Let's consider Rahab. The story of Israel goes on now. They are delivered after 400 years of bondage. Moses has come up and he leads them to the Red Sea. The Red Sea parts. They cross on dry land. They wander 40 years through the wilderness and they come to the edge of the Jordan River. Moses dies and Joshua takes the leadership. They cross through the Jordan on dry land and they set up and they're now going to have their first battle at Jericho. These untrained slaves, they're not warriors, they're wanderers. And so, in preparation, Joshua sends two spies into that land, into Jericho. Well, they penetrate into the city and they found safety in the house of a harlot, Rahab. Joshua chapter 2, verse 3, "And the king of Jericho said unto Rahab, bring forth the men that are come to thee. They were discovered and known. They are entered into your house, for they come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, the men came unto me, but I wist not where they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she had been lying. She had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of the Jordan to the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone, they shut the gate." Rahab had to choose between letting these two spies die by telling the truth, or she could lie and put her own life on the line. Difficult situation. But the truth is, this is war. She had a difficult decision. If she's discovered, she will die for the deception. Again, but would God have delivered the spies if she told the truth? Folks, there are times we have to let it with God. Well, you just don't have faith. Or did God put me here to preserve life? Again, I think the answer lies in the response that God was allowed Rahab to have. She was delivered from the coming judgment. She put the scarlet line out the window and her house was protected when Israel came in and destroyed the city. Her and her family were spared. Joshua chapter 6, 25, "And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." She chose the higher virtue. Ah, but Pastor Holler, she condemned her own people to an onslaught. They're not innocent. Let us please read. This is now Rahab talking to the spies when they first met her. Joshua chapter 2, verse 10. She said, "We, the people of Jericho, have heard." We heard. "We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath, and we have not bowed ourselves to trust that God." They are not innocent people. They knew the truth, and they did not choose to serve to seek God. God is fair. And now you have the children of Israel, God's people, the light to the world. And she spared two of them and the city of people that refused to believe, even though they heard. They got the wrath of God. And folks, is it not true today? There are people that are rejecting the word of God, and they fail to seek His face, even though they've heard. Judgment will come upon them. How about choosing between right and right? Now we chose between letting somebody die, lying. Let's choose now between two virtues. Jesus calls people to serve Him. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 59. "And he," Jesus, "said unto another man, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." This man has to decide between two virtuous things. Follow God and give my father and the family the respect that's due unto them. What are you going to decide? To go home, rightfully so, bury your father? Or are you going to follow Jesus? It's interesting that Jesus brought in a decision to this man. Well, can't I do both? Yes. I believe, though, the teaching here is really helping us to discern between right and right, because the truth is this will confront Christians many times between what's right and what's right. Both are right. Again, choose the higher virtue. Let me quote. "There has been very considerable discussion as to the precise import of this incident, but the moral significance of it is unmistakable. Here is a man whose difficulty lay in the pressure upon him of conflicting duties. On the one hand, he felt the claims of home. He had his duties which he owed his father. On the other hand, he heard the call of Christ bidding him to come away and follow Him. And all of his difficulty in that great hour, when the windows were opened and the deeps were broken up, was how to reconcile in his own conscience these two competing and conflicting duties. He was not torn between right and wrong. He was torn between right and right. He hesitated between two rival claims, both of them stamped with the seal of the divine. For on the one hand, there was the family piety and duty and his passionate reverence for his honored dead. On the other hand, imperious and urgent, there was the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will we not have calls in our life? This is right and this is right. What am I going to do?" And it's important that we make the right decision. Unlike the midwives and Rahab, they had to decide between wrong and wrong. Well, murder or lying. Again, let me quote, "But as life advances and deepens in riches, there is another conflict which emerges. It is not the conflict between right and wrong. It's the conflict between right and right. All of us stand in various relationships, and life is rich in proportion to relationships. To be utterly alone were to be dead, for no man liveth to himself. And these relationships, as they enlarge our being, they and heighten our personality indefinitely, so do they carry with them in their widening circles ever-increasing complexity of duty. As life grows richer, gladness increases. As life grows richer, duties are augmented. Every new tie that man or woman forms carries its burden as surely as its blessing. Every new plighting of troth in holy wedlock, every new opening of an infant's eyes carries its claims as well as its delight. Send a man out into some savage wilderness and you may limit his duty to himself and God. Give him his place in family and state, and family and state lay hands upon him. And so as life advances in complexity and grows more intricate and rich and wonderful, duties are born which we accept from God and which are yet very hard to reconcile. So to the conflict between right and wrong, there is added the conflict between right and right. New voices call us, new claims press in upon us, and they seem to jar with the old familiar voices. There are men whose bitterest and sorest struggle is not the fight between duty and disloyalty. It's the secret battle of the spirit between one clear duty and another. I'm sure you've all faced this. We come to times where I really should go do this and I should do this. And they're both right. And sometimes our answer and our behavior will be misunderstood. Why didn't you do that? You don't understand, because I had to do this. It was right. I remember hearing a man speak one time, and he said he was invited out to a group of pastors on a Friday night. He says, "Can you be there?" He said, "No, I won't be there." "Why? What do you got going?" He says, "I'm going to be with my grandson." He said, "You're what?" He says, "There is nothing more important on Friday night than I spend time with my grandson." He had to make a decision. Sometimes we have to make difficult decisions. Think about this. As a Christian, you're called to jury duty and you have to struggle between mercy and justice. You hear the case, you take in the facts, and you determine this person is guilty and worthy of punishment. And yet you see his soul hoping for mercy, and the dilemma grows when you consider that this is the parent and there are several children at home, and you know your decision for justice is going to deny these children of their parents. What do you do? You're torn between right and right. And you must decide the higher virtue. But such is the nature of our sinful world. As we do think about justice and jury duty, it is right that we have civil order, and God has ordained the government to keep civil order. Romans 13:4, "For he," the governor, if you will, the king, "is the minister, representative of the government, a minister of God to thee for good. If thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain." Stand up for what's right and offer justice. Mercy and justice are right, but choose wisely so that God is pleased. We have very important decisions in life. God and church, friends, work, family, personal time. We need to tend to our little ones who need training at home. We need people in the community. They have to hear the gospel message of salvation. A soldier longs to care for his family, yet he's needed at his station. Our dwelling place needs care, and the list goes on, and each one is right. But we are made of the dust of the ground. And there are going to be times you need to go into your quiet place and just cry unto God, "I am made of the dust of the ground. You must give me wisdom, because I can't be two places at one time and I cannot do everything." And we must decide between right and right. Use your time wisely. Do you realize time is your life? When you're killing time, you're killing your life. And you don't know how many seconds you have here on this earth. And he said unto another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." And Christ presented this man, as sometimes we are presented as Christians, between right and right. This man needs to choose between the higher virtue. Neither one is intrinsically sinful, and yet by comparison, there is a better choice. Dear God, you knew my father needed to be buried, but for some reason you're calling me to forsake that. It's right, And sometimes decisions we will make, people will not understand. I said this earlier, this message is not to condone lying. But this message is to deal with the reality of life. Not everything is black and white. There are going to be times you're going to have to make some very difficult decisions between right and right. Lies are of the devil. The Bible commands us to not lie, but rather to tell the truth. And there are times that we have to take action. Don't ever take it lightly if you're going to tell a lie. What would you say as you choose between the virtues? A soldier is captured and he's interrogated. Well, you know, I can't lie, so he just pours out his heart, condemning his own men. How about if this building catches on fire? And before the fire department comes, I run through the building and I grab all the Bibles and I take them outside, but I let the babies burn up. There are some times we get in difficult situations and we have to make decisions that may not be understood, that may be painful, but we make them because it's right. The midwives had to decide. Rahab had to decide. The man had to choose between burying his father and following Christ. And God knows our hearts. And therefore, when you make these decisions, do it with an honest attitude before God in prayer and wisdom, and if you can, get counsel. Sometimes you don't have time for counsel. Sometimes the situation isn't right. But ask God. God had a struggle. He hated sin, but he loved the sinner. You know how he resolved it? He sent his son to pay for the sin debt of the world. What will you do with Jesus? I spoke in the beginning of this message how important one decision will make. What you decide with Jesus will affect your entire eternity. One decision. Will you trust Jesus as your Savior? Or will you reject like they did at Jericho? We heard, but we didn't do anything about it. Consider. High in the Canadian Rockies is a rushing stream called Divide Creek. At one point in its course, the waters reach a large boulder. The water, which travels to the left of the boulder, rushes down into the Kicking Horse River and finally into the Pacific Ocean. The water, which travels to the right of the large rock, makes it down into the Bow River, which empties into two more rivers and then into the Atlantic Ocean. Once the waters divide at that boulder, its destiny is decided. Downstream from the great rock, the course cannot be altered. The left side goes to the Pacific, the right side to the Atlantic. Every person meets his divide point. It comes when he decides to accept Christ or to reject him. This great divide determines one's eternal destination. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. One decision. The power of one decision. You see, God loves the world, but he hates the sin. But the world is covered with sin. And so, God knew that we can't do anything to get rid of this sin. He had to send his son, Jesus. Came to this earth and was crucified. The perfect holy Lamb of God, the one who was God in the flesh, who never sinned, went to that cross, took your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world, past, present, and future. And he paid the whole sin debt of the world. 3 days, three nights in the tomb, he rose again, paid in full. That is how you go to heaven, is by putting your faith in his shed blood. I get it. There's nothing I can do to get rid of my sin debt. But Jesus paid it all. God provided the way to do what I could never do. I put my faith in his shed blood and his death, burial, and resurrection. That moment that you believe, you're born again. Please read it again in John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. the moment you believe, you have everlasting life. It doesn't come when you're water baptized or when you're slain in the Spirit or whatever. It doesn't come by giving money in the church and, well, I know it's Jesus plus my good works. No. He that believeth. Do you believe Jesus paid for your sin debt? That moment you are born again, and guess what? You have everlasting life. You cannot lose everlasting life by definition. It wasn't everlasting life if you could lose it. Think about that. If you could lose it, it would be temporary probation, not everlasting life. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb, sealed with the Holy Spirit, and you're on your way to heaven. You're now a Christian. But if you believe not, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him, as it did on Jericho.
This is Pastor Rod Hollard. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.